This is a gorgeous, look at you, just casually enjoying life.
I hope that I don't have like a weird nut bulge.
I mean, I would hope not either. Welcome everybody to the Chop Sports Show here on Monday, August the 30th, 2021. We hope you guys are doing well. We hope you guys had a great weekend. New set change, obviously, again. This is basically what we're going to be looking at for a Sunday stream, where it's going to be cameras on each individual person that's, you know, running the show. And then you got the wide shot up there. And it's just, you know, it's a whole new thing, you know?
Four NFL tickets.
Four NFL. Oh, yeah. The NFL streams are going to be crazy. We have yours and obviously Kyle Kerms, the sauce, will be coming in, helping us out as well.
Yeah, we tested out the new equipment in the live stream yesterday. Thanks to everybody that tuned in to the live stream for the Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley debacle. That was what? Brutal.
What? There was a live
stream? Yeah. So yeah. Thanks to everybody that tuned into the live stream. It was great. I was, you know, especially Hawaii Mike
all the way in Hawaii. So last night, before we get started, it is Sturch. It is Gooch on the couch and it's AJ behind the glass, behind the scenes back there. That's a good thing. Whoever just said you can't see our faces, it's definitely a good thing on this Monday morning because I am dragging ass because of that fight last night. Like that wasn't even, it's like,
bro, and
it's got to stop.
You got to leave, and then we had to record a 15-minute impromptu episode for the Chop Heads MMA podcast after our fucking 1.5-hour live.
I actually, you know what's funny?
Keep laughing at that?
I don't know, man. It's just, it's not funny. That funny. It's funny.
Only three people tuned in because it was Sunday night at fucking midnight.
People have to go to work. People got to go to work. No, but I will say this. When I was walking out, I hear Tommy like, all right, let's do this. And I was like, oh, I don't feel good for them at all. Yeah. That sucks. But no, the Woodley thing, that fight, it needs to, that kind of shtick, it's actually getting kind of tired. I don't know. After that fight, the post fight, and obviously if you watched the fight, you saw that Jake Paul won by decision, which was the big money, plus 900. Did you do it, AJ?
No, I wish I had the balls to do it.
Okay, well, Scoop apparently did. He told us he went, whatchamacall, he took that money. And it's just a long night, man. I almost drifted off three times driving home. Like that's and I wasn't even drinking. There was a cop sitting outside and I was like, he's gonna see me peel out of here.
You wasn't even drinking, ladies and gentlemen.
I wasn't even drinking. And like I didn't have any drinks at my draft that I hosted yesterday. So I was sober as a whistle and it was just rough. But anyway, so what's this guy all right, you know what?
The comments?
Yeah, I'm reading the comments, and I'm just like, this is why I need to get rid of the comments, because it's annoying, but AJ's controlling all that. So if AJ wants to...
main screen.
I mean, we're getting chirped about the angle.
You know what? Well, we can chirp away.
Switch it up however
AJ wants. AJ is controlling this bad boy, so this is all up to AJ on who he wants to bring up.
AJ, whoever's talking, go to their face if you can.
Yeah, well, you don't have to do that. That's a lot of switching. Devlin, yeah. Oh, that was Devlin. Well... It is what it is.
Devlin and Ash and probably
it's Jimmy. Fine, but anyway. So this fight, this shtick that I think it's growing tired. I truly do. I don't firmly believe that this is the kind of thing that will last a lot longer. I know these celebrity fights are, you know, I call them celebrity fights, even though they're actual fighters now doing this. You know what I mean? But this kind of fight, it's getting old, and I think you heard it in the post fight interview with Jake Paul. Like he almost didn't have anything to say because it's just like like they went through the motions. Like Woodley caught him a couple times, which is great. We thought he was going to knock him through the ropes. It was one of the greater moments of the fight, probably the only big moment of the fight, which we, you know, we propped up for. You're like, oh, there it is, you know. And it never happened. And it's like, I don't know, man. This Jake Paul shit's getting annoying.
The Jake Paul shit's been annoying, but obviously, you know me, I'm here for it. I don't mind the Jake Paul shit. He came out, he won the fight. Woodley didn't fire off again. The last four UFC fights that Woodley fought in, Woodley doesn't move the needle anymore. I was team Woodley going into this, but seeing him the way he came out, he didn't throw a punch for four rounds. He landed one punch.
That's like his last four fights.
And to the point about Jake Paul afterwards, the whole... He didn't want to fight. He's talking about he might take some time off. He's been training for 3 years.
Oh,
he
said
18 months, so he can't do math. Talking about he needs to get his nose fixed, his teeth fixed. I mean, come on, bro. You've been sparring. It's not like he's got they call him four pro fights. He's got zero pro fights.
Zero. Zilch.
There was no CompuBox scorecard. They made an announcement midway through the fight.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That the judges are very inexperienced.
Isn't that
so
crazy?
So they're basically telling you, like, this is a wash. This is in Cleveland. There's going to be home cooking. But just looking at the fight, they didn't even need to have home cooking because Woodley didn't do shit.
That's like his last four fights in MMA. Like, he's not an entertaining fighter. Woodley has lost a bunch of fights by being, A, the most boring. Even in his wins, bro. Even in some of his wins, they were the most boring fights I've ever watched. And what did you actually expect him to do when he can't take anybody down and he can't use his mixed martial arts skills? He just has to go punch for punch with Jake Paul. And you know what? I'm pretty sure he was nervous to get too close, because Jake Paul does have that kind of pop power.
Honestly, I think that there was a little too much made about the Jake Paul power. He looked like he was thrown. Maybe for a round he had some snap, but he gassed out immediately.
You saw it. The hands were down.
I think I wouldn't say it was more so the power. I think it was more the just his fear of possibly losing. He was afraid to
get
in there.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't want to get embarrassed. You trying to embarrass me on national TV? You know, like, that was rough, dude.
And I don't want to see them fight again, so you could scrap.
Yeah, so AJ, did you pull up that clip or no?
No, it's hard to get clips in the StreamYard, but...
No worries. It's okay. The post-fight interview, they were talking about running it back, and I just, like, please don't. You know, please don't, because we know...
If Woodley gets the...
You know what? Enough.
Like, then they're supposedly going to run it back.
Did you also notice that in the post-fight interview, there was moments where they were all humble?
Is it the part where Jake Paul finally got to grip Woodley's cheeks?
Yes. It was all humble, right? It was just, hey, you know, he's a tremendous competitor and this, that, and a third. And I'm like, all right, cool. He's acknowledging that Woodley has a past and a history in the sport. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody whispered in Jake Paul's ear, hey, you forgot to promote the rematch. Do it again. Run that back. Hurry up. Do it again. I'm like, wait a minute. Time out. So now out of nowhere, this is what happens. Then they turn it up like, oh, you're a scumbag. Oh, you know, I'm like, wait a minute. Time out.
I think they expected to have a gracious Woodley in defeat, and Woodley came up hot. He came over there talking about a rematch. So then obviously Paul had to turn it, change his tune a little bit.
What would be like, what's the stop Woodley from just clocking him, bare knuckle? Just that would make headlines. That would sell the next fight. That would just, he would go to, you know, that's assault in a little bit, right?
That's why, because you can't just punch somebody.
Yeah, I know, but it would have been once so good. Oh my over, god,
that becomes assault. So yeah, that's the reason why
it would have been. It would have been awesome.
But
awesome.
So your take on the whole thing now?
I'm
now that you watched it. Just let me.
Yeah,
was it fake or was it real? Did they actually fight each other, or was that a...
All right, so here's my take, and this is straight, like, this is how I see it. Because the fact it went eight rounds, right, and it was home cooking, don't you think these guys know the gambling odds of this stuff? Don't you think they know that, oh, why, for whatever reason, the highest payout was Jake Paul by decision, and all of a sudden, what's the result? Jake Paul by decision. That's what has me sketchy. There was punch power. There was knockoutable power. That's not even a thing. There was knockout power delivered a couple times, but not enough for me to think that somebody was going to get knocked out in this fight. So everybody who bet that way cashed in tremendously.
Agreed. So there is that.
Sketchy.
I still, just judging by the way the guys looked with the adrenaline going and the facial expressions and the body language, I think both guys were trying to win, personally.
I don't know, man. I feel like there was just like survival mode the entire way. They were tired. They're both tired.
Like this. All right. So when Woodley landed that shot to the side of the head, and he knocked Jake Paul down. Like, without the ropes, that's a knockdown. In real boxing, that's 100% a knockdown.
Would that be like a standing eight count?
No, it would. A standing eight count is basically... All right, let's run it back. It wouldn't be a standing eight count. It would be a knockdown, and they would start counting. And then you take your standing eight count, meaning like you could stand up and get to eight, let them know you're good.
Okay.
But no, that wouldn't be a standing eight count. It would have been a clean knockdown, and you would have finally got a 10-8 round. In boxing, you need to have a knockdown to get a 10-8 round. A lot of people, AJ, I'm talking to AJ on the way in this morning, and he basically is the new age combat sports fan where he only knows MMA judging. He doesn't even know boxing judging. He's like, so...
Well, that's another thing. the scores for the from these quote inexperienced judges for what they said that they were. It was 78-76 or 77-75 one way, same score the other way, and then a 4-point spread for Jake Paul. The entire fight, we watched it here at the studio last night.
I think Woodley won two rounds.
Well, if that's the case, whatever the case may be, I'm saying, do you think that, like, it's weird for me to think that this wasn't a fixed thing, because it's like you have, like, that fight was the entire way. The aggressor was, as much as he didn't throw punches, he was the one pressing forward. It was never Jake Paul, like, oh, I'm coming for you, bro. Like, it was never that. It was never that.
Yeah, he walked forward and didn't throw punches, though.
But that's
I still haven't seen the numbers, so I would like to see what the numbers are.
As far as what? As punches as landed, like, and stuff?
They didn't do CompuBox because it wasn't a actual sanctioned
which
bout.
Which is ridiculous.
There was no drug testing, things like that, so it wasn't a pro fight. But until I see the numbers, I'm just the optics of it, I think Woodley won two rounds. So I had it 78-74 as well.
I don't know. To me, the fact that the big plus money was that way, and that's how the frigging cookie crumbled. Like, come on, man.
I'm surprised nobody's in here talking shit that we're even talking about it.
But in any event, I know there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way I do, where, like, you know, I was talking to my brother about it, and it's like, this is the disgrace that is. Like, this is not boxing. Boxing is your Tysons and like that, the classic stuff. And even the guys that are going now, like, you know, Canelo and you know, the guy that's undefeated from Brooklyn. I keep forgetting his name. But
Lopez?
Sure, him, yeah. But I'm like, there are good boxers out there. The sport is, I said it, as far as the casual fan, there's not much left. There's not much left, but as, like, the hardcore fan, you would hope that there's a lot left in the tank for a lot of these up and comers. But when you're featuring Jake Paul and you're featuring Tyron Woodley, like, this isn't boxing.
Yeah, but
this
I don't think
a circus.
But that's the thing; it's not boxing.
It's money.
It's money. It's not boxing. There's no. It's not the WBO, the WBC. They're not. This guy's not injected into the rankings. It's a money fight. If anybody fights him, it's for money. Well, like I said, there was no sanctioning body. There was no drug testing. There was no CompuBox. There was no professional judging. Who was the ref?
Isn't that the guy with the big eyes? The guy that's like that in all the memes? Like, he's always like big eyed, like really excited about shit. Wasn't that him?
No, he was just the ring guy. He was like the cut man. One of the cut men.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't know who the ref is. So I thought the referee was excited.
I'm wrong. But anyway.
Any event.
But I just got an update about the Ravens running back situation. So I guess that's the perfect segue into the NFL. And J.K. Dobbins.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it, and I don't want to offend one individual person, but this is why, and my heart is broken for J.K. Dobbins, because that guy was going to be RB1 in Baltimore because of the departure of Ingram. This is why you don't have drafts early in the year. This is why you don't do that. This is why you don't have keeper leagues and all this other shit where, like, we would have been screwed. Would have been absolutely screwed, because now... It's hard for me to, yes, do I watch preseason games? Yes. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, so that's the kind of shit I want
to
see.
This is Dave's come to Jesus moment.
But I want, listen, here's my status on, preseason football. Pointless. Now, I want to see the camp battles. I want to see the position battles. I want to see which edge rusher Dallas might keep, or which interior lineman they might keep, or who the backup quarterback is going to be behind the, you know, our guy Dak Prescott. But this is the flip side of things, where things can get ugly really fast. And I think all of those decisions, all of those things I just mentioned, the battles for positions, they can be addressed in training camp and not preseason games. Because we lost three running backs over the course of the last 2 weeks, three starting running backs. This is and you know, people are like, oh, you know, look at the courage. Like, Tom Brady is playing in the third preseason game. Oh, look, Daniel Jones took a couple reps. He threw a pick. You know, and then he was getting rocked. I don't know if you saw any of those highlights, but Daniel Jones was on the freaking carpet every other play.
Yeah, it's still football. You're going to get hit.
It's still football.
You don't
so like,
to wear the red
jersey. So people are like, oh, but what about Dak Prescott? How come he hasn't taken any reps? I was on team take reps. I was, because when you're coming off an ankle injury and you've had no opponent since injury, you got to get out there. You got to get game speed. You have to. But now we're seeing too many of these guys drop. J.K. Dobbins won. Who else?
Travis Etienne.
Etienne went out. And the kid from L.A., from the Rams.
Cam Akers
out.
Well, I don't think he was hurt in a preseason.
It doesn't matter in that time frame. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is... Yeah, these guys are professionals.
Funches is out for the year, but that was in an inter-squad scrimmage.
Right. These guys are professionals. I think they can just get their bodies right. Like, versus Zeke not to have any reps, I was okay with that. He looks phenomenal.
Now, not a great example overall, but in the one season where Le'Veon Bell held out all year, he came back and I think he led the league in rushing. Right? He held out. He didn't practice once all offseason. He came back the week of week one and he led the NFL in rushing. These guys are pros, man. I could understand maybe if you have a quarterback competition, you might want to see them out there. But other than that, I just don't see the reasoning behind it. And you know my stance on this.
I'm starting to fade that way. I'm starting to fade that way because I'm just like, all right, what's the next injury that's going to happen? And you're going to be like, oh my God, if there was no preseason.
It's going to take one of your guys to get hurt, and then you'll be done with it forever. Once Jordy tore his ACL, that was it for me. I'm done with preseason.
I mean, look, Dak got hurt against the Giants, and that was it for me for the season. That was a regular season game. So, like, yeah, if we were to lose one of our big starters, I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my goddamn mind. But I think, you know, and it's funny because he ain't the only one banged up. You know, the running backs, yeah, they're taking hits. But, like, you know, the Colts, they're trying to figure things out with Carson Wentz. Is he going to play, right? And now he doesn't have his wide receiver. I don't want to say one because I don't feel like he's a one anyway, but like T.Y. Hilton's hurt. He's banged up now. So these guys are losing people. Like Dallas lost their starting defensive tackle for 6 weeks. So this is the kind of shit that you have to deal with. Like if you're going to get hurt, have it, you know, and I have a perfect example, and this is going to sound bad. Not that bad, but in 2014, I tore my ACL. In a professional wrestling ring as an active professional wrestler. You know where I did it? Practice. I would have much rather got hurt in front of the crowd and then like got the standing ovation as I'm carted off or whatever, you know, but I did it in practice in front of the fellow students and trainers. And it was embarrassing. Practice. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the kind of shit you got to deal with is practice. And I don't know, man. It's annoying. It's just the whole thing is annoying. The injuries are annoying, especially if it's your team. And I don't know, man. I just
so where do you bump Gus Edwards up in the fantasy rankings? AJ, you could take this one. Where do you think Gus Edwards needs to go now?
So this may sound absolutely crazy, but I think he's basically interchangeable with J.K. Dobbins' value. I would take him a little lower because I think that based off the name brand, a lot of people aren't going to be buying into him as high as a early third round pick. But if you could get him in the fourth round, I'll take that every single time.
I think he went in the fourth in my draft yesterday.
I say well said, but I'm not touching him until the fifth. So I get it. I'm not taking him anywhere near the third round. Fourth round.
He said interchangeable because he thinks that the skill set might be the same. And
I think Dobbins is a better
receiver. There's not enough sample size out of Gus Edwards.
They didn't use Dobbins last year out of the backfield catching the ball. They didn't really use the backfield at all, throwing to the backfield. But Gus Edwards will not. He might have one catch all year. They don't throw to him at all.
So what's the move? You think it's Gus Edwards or you think that the Ravens kind of pull a rabbit out of the hat?
It'll be Gus Edwards for on first and second down. And on third down, they'll piece it together.
Justice Hill is hurt. He was back up. You know what I said? Since, you know, we did not cover the – did we cover the Gardner-Minshew trade when it happened?
No.
We did not. So Gardner-Minshew gets traded for a bag of balls, you know. So I feel like the price tags for some of these players, they're not that heavy. So why not the Ravens go out there and say, look, hey, Houston, we'll give you a fourth and a fifth or a fourth and a sixth. Can you give us Mark Ingram back? Because he's not going to really serve a purpose down there.
Why would they do that?
Why would they not?
Because they released him for a reason.
They released him because they had J.K. Dobbins on the rise.
I don't know.
That's why.
I think that kicking the tires on a guy like Ingram isn't going to do much.
I'm just saying he knows the system. I just got
an update saying that they're not in on Todd Gurley. I think Gurley is probably a little bit better off than Ingram at this point in their career.
I think that might be it for Gurley then.
Well,
if that guy didn't find a roster, what's the deal?
And there's a lot of young up-and-coming guys. I guarantee there's a couple guys out there that could fill that role if need be. He's got to find them.
I guess. But
when final cuts go down, we'll see what running backs become available.
That's another thing we need to be, AJ, just like on the horn because it is final. They have till 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon Eastern time to get your rosters down to 53 men. So right now, for instance, and not every roster is the same, but Dallas is at like 78. It's a lot of guys to cut. You know, and of course, there's going to be corresponding moves where it's like, you know, putting guys on the IR, putting guys, you know, There might be a couple trades. There was already talks that people are interested in some of our backups, you know, and it's all about if you want to part ways with these guys. I personally don't, but I just, you know, if you can get something for them, you know, and I'm not talking about something. I'm talking about something good, you know, not just like, hey, give up all your backups for fifth rounders, you know, give me something good. If you're coveting this guy, he better be worth it.
So what's your thoughts on the Minshew trade?
This is another kick to the ego dick of Jalen Hurts.
I said it in the group because I knew you were going to say that.
I said it in the group.
I read it in the group.
I know, but look, here's the story of Jalen Hurts thus far with the Eagles, okay? He gets the starting job because Wentz starts to stink, right? And after that, he's the starter. So we'll go with that. Then after that, the offseason comes. And you go out and there's rumors now, not anything with any merit, but some rumors that Deshaun Watson could be the guy, right? Hey, they could trade for Deshaun Watson. Insert Hurts feelings there. Like, oh man, Jesus, why would they even talk about this, right? And then you sign Joe Flacco as your backup. And I'm not saying Joe Flacco can start in this league anymore. He probably can if asked to do it. Another one, Hurts is like, wait a minute, damn, dude. Like, yo, I'm the starter. I'm the guy. I want to be the guy, right? So then that debacle is kind of put aside because Jalen Hurts is definitely better than Joe Flacco right now, right? And then you trade for Gardner Minshew. This is another blow to Jalen Hurts.
I think if anything, it's a blow to Joe Flacco, and it might be that they don't believe in him as the backup. There's potential that they don't believe in Hurts as the guy, but I don't think Minshew is the answer. And if you look at the stipulation in the trade, I think it's for a sixth.
But it could turn into a fifth
if he plays in 50% of the snaps in three games. So they don't. I don't think they plan on using Minshew much.
He's not a gadget guy. He's a quarterback.
And the thing with Philly is, I think for whatever reason in Philly, they think that they have a chance to win some games. Maybe it's because the division was bad last year, but I don't think that the overall feeling in Philly right now is that they think that they're as bad as the public does. So if Hurts does get hurt. Yeah. It always fucks me up saying if Hurts gets hurt. But anyway, if Hurts does go down, they would like to have somebody to bridge the gap. Minshew is definitely a solid backup. I don't think that he's a starter in the league, though. It was proven. He won one game with Jacksonville last year.
It was a bad team.
Still.
I'm just saying.
He's like a Doug Flutie light. He's like not as good as Doug Flutie, but he's never going to get
the full job
anywhere he goes. Right. But Minshew will be a league. He'll be a 10-year mainstay in the league, at least, as long as he plays backup quarterback. And I don't know. I think the contract was a little high for a backup.
$2 million.
It was only $2 million. I think I was proven wrong by it. This is one of the things that I was proven wrong on. But they just announced Trevor Lawrence.
One of the things.
One of the things. No, it's one of the things that AJ always does. He always pulls up shit. Like real time when he doesn't believe what I'm saying is true.
That can't be true.
But yeah, this is one of those things. Trevor Lawrence is gone. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is the starter. There's no reason to keep Minshew around at $2 million for a team that if Trevor Lawrence goes down, what are they going to win? One game?
All I know is Trevor Lawrence dropped a couple dimes on my backup secondary yesterday. I watched that game full, kick off to the last kneel down. Trevor Lawrence, like I know it was backups, and I know, but you know some of the kids that the Cowboys are throwing out there for the entire game. Trevor Lawrence looks like he could drop a couple dimes, you know. And look, he's being the highest touted quarterback since Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
so
he's legit,
and I think
I just don't believe in Urban Meyer. He's going to be their Achilles heel. He'll quit by like week 10.
It's interesting to see what Urban Meyer does with this team because they're not in like build and they're not in win now mode by any stretch, but they have a decent team. Even with the loss of Travis Etienne, I think that James Robinson definitely is more than capable of carrying the load over there. He did it last year, you know, so I definitely think he's good. And I think his receivers, you know, as much as people talk about DJ Chark and Chenault, I love the acquisition of Marvin Jones. You know what I mean? So he's got a safety net. Like, I feel like that's going to be the guy that leads the team in receptions.
I think we gave Jaguars the most wins any one of us gave them was like 4 or 5.
I'm not saying they're going to be good.
Does that change now that we see a little bit more out of Trevor Lawrence?
No.
I'll give
him. No, I agree. Right. No, it doesn't.
I mean, we're going to do.
Defense is bad.
We're going to do. Next week, we're going to sit down, take an hour out of our day, and really go week by week to really get good predictions. I think Trevor Lawrence can win games in this league. I truly believe that, and I think that it's going to show, and it's going to show early. Maybe not often, but early. But anyway, AJ, what is this Mets thing you got written down? Oh, all right. Well, The Mets, being the Mets, have Mets'd it up again. And when I say that, I think that, first of all, you're biters. They're all biters, right?
Well, first of all, the Yankees did that, and it was a Mets fan that put the thumbs down. So it's just a very Mets thing to even steal the Yankees' thumbs down, and it's even worse.
But it's in different contexts.
But it's even worse when the Yankees did, like, the Yankees developed that moniker against the Mets because of that Mets fan in the crowd.
Yeah, I remember.
And now the Mets are going against their own fan base in the most Mets thing of all, and it doesn't even make sense.
I can't believe the way they described it. Like, Javi Baez said he doesn't like when they get booed, right? So now he wants to treat the fans like they treated him.
First of all,
like, are you kidding? You've been there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's been there for a week, bro.
Yeah, like, first of all, this is not the time to turn on your fan base. When you're down 8 games as of today, 8 games to the Braves, and we're 2 days away from September. This ship has sailed. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. There won't be any run for the New York Mets.
When you lose 8 out of 10,
correct,
you don't get the boo back when you win. When you win the third game in a month.
The guy called the radio today, bro. It was so funny, actually. The guy called the radio and he goes, you know, I just bought season tickets for the Mets. They actually just upped their prices for next year. He goes, so not only are the Mets upping their prices and I have to deal with that, like that hike. He goes, you're telling me I got to get booed by Lindor for the rest of the time? Like for the next 10 years, he's got to get booed by Francisco Lindor. And everybody started laughing. I was like, that's hilarious because the Mets have to stop where they're like right dead in their tracks. It's over. They're 8 games back. There's no promise that they're going to, like, the Braves would have to completely collapse to not win the NL East. So that's the ship of sail, man. Just get your stats, pad your stats, have a good couple rest of the weeks, but it's over. The Mets are over. And this, the whole, that's it. That's symbolic for being over, bro. It's so over. I mean, they probably don't even know how over it is.
No, they know.
And they probably know.
Yeah, there's no shot.
So anyway, AJ, my guy, it's time now to get into what went down on a Sunday docket for the MLB, bro.
It's time, you say. Well, it's also time to bring up my guy, Curtis Counts. We are here with the Curtis Sell Houses Sports Update for all your realty needs. Make sure to hit up Curtis. Let's get into the first game where the Mets went against the Nationals. They were booing their fans. The fans were booing them. So
they booed each other, and they won the game.
Yeah, like,
who are they booing?
Somehow, they won this game 9-4. Yeah, and Miguel gets the win in that one. The A's went against the Yankees yesterday, and the A's get a win late in that game. Kemp hits a home run in the eighth to lift them over the Yanks 3-1. Phillies get a nice win over the Diamondbacks at home 7-4. Suarez gets the win in that one. We have the Giants going against the Atlanta Braves for an absolute eyewear shutout as my guy Ian Anderson shuts out the Braves 9-0. The White Sox and the Cubs went at it for a Chicago crosstown rivalry, but the White Sox, as usual, beat up on the Cubs 13-1. The Brewers and the Twins went at it yesterday for some interconference play, but the Brewers ultimately came away victorious on the road 6-2. The Rangers get a surprising upset over the Houston Astros at home 13-2. They blow the brakes off of them. Tampa Bay Rays and the Orioles go at it in a high-scoring affair, and the Tampa Bay Rays ultimately come away victorious 12-8. Red Sox and the Indians go at it in Cleveland yesterday, but the Cleveland Indians are surprisingly able to get an upset 7-5 in that one. Marlins get an upset over the National League wildcard climbing Reds as they win that game 2-1. There's going to be a note on that one after the report. The Blue Jays win a close one against the Tigers 2-1. They get 10 hits in that one, but only register 2 runs. Rockies, LA Dodgers, absolute eyewear shutout. Shocking one as the Rockies shut out the Dodgers at home 5-0 Rockies. And then to end today's slate, the Seattle Mariners get a nice victory over the Kansas City Royals 4-3, only 5 hits, but they get it done anyways. That is your AJ Sports update.
Gooch, you got any notes? I got one. Do you have any? And it wasn't the zero when I looked at you. You locked eyes and I'm like, he said zero again,
honestly,
but that's okay.
I was reading text. And
okay,
shit,
well, so mine is it's beat the brakes off a team, not blow the brakes off a team. That's just me. Just, you know, little things. Like, he's like, what is, Demolition Man. She's like, let's go out there and blow these guys. And like, Stallone's like, away. Blow these guys away.
What are you doing, Joe Matarese?
Oh, that's Mike, right. Rocky's his role model, right? And you can find that shirt on chopsports.shop. But anyway, today, we are on day 22, 22 of the Carolina of the 32 teams in 32 days. We're going to take a break first. When we come back, we'll do the Carolina Panthers. First, we'll sell some merch, pay some bills, and we'll get right back to you guys. Come right back.
Service Team of Professionals, a.k.a. Stop Restoration of Edison, is a locally owned and operated business that provides professional disaster cleaning and restoration services, including a 24-hour emergency service to homeowners, property managers, real estate investors, and insurance companies alike. Stop Restoration helps people overcome the stress and anxiety of unforeseen circumstances caused by fire, smoke, water, mold, and other unexpected damages. As part of a nationally recognized restoration franchise, Stop Restoration of Edison is backed by the best technical advisors and business consultants in the country. Visit them right now online at www.stop-edison.com.
Hey guys, this is Keith Ernst from the NFL podcast, I'm Your Football Team. Come check out our weekly football show where we give you our shitty and offensive opinions on everything NFL. We do this often by using the trendy terminology, I'm You. What's that mean? Check out I'm Your Football Team on Chop Sports to find out. Episodes premiere every Thursday. And I'm You if you're ignoring this, by the way. I'm You.
All right, welcome back to the Chop Sports Show here on August the 30th, 2021. Of course, your host, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ behind the glass. A lot of comments about the new set. We're working on it, folks. That's all I'm saying. We were working on it. We're going to get the lighting down. There's so many things we want to do, and obviously the Sunday ticket thing, that Sunday show, that nameless Sunday show is going to be, that's where we're trying to work towards. We still got, what is it, 2 weeks, right?
No, like,
Less than two weeks now, 13 days away from that Sunday show.
Which is so fucking amazing.
It really is, bro. You don't understand. Here. When I had my draft yesterday at my house, there was so many guys that were there. They were like, I can't wait to just watch football again. You know, meaningful football. Football is the lifeblood of not only this network, but like
yeah, we just get a, we get an life. Appetizer with college football this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And then What we're all here for.
We're appetizer on Thursday. As of right now, it's calling for a fat 100% chance of rain. We did plan on doing some tailgating, some marketing on Thursday, but if it's crappy, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go, but I definitely still want to go to the game at the very least. So Rutgers opens their season on Thursday. All right, so day 22 of the 32 teams in 32 days, we start our coverage of the Carolina Panthers, but this segment is brought to you by Absolute Eyewear of Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street. Go check out Craig and Janine. There's big, big savings over there to be had because you're a Chop Sports member and a Chop Sports follower and a fan and a friend of the show and a current host of a podcast. Whatever you're doing with Chop Sports, head on over there. Drop the word and phrase Chop Sports and or Jimmy Palumbo Show. I will give him the rub. And you can get 100. That's right. 120s off of any lenses, frames, any. They do it all over there. They're a full service shop. You know, their eye exams. You can rock the Dickerson look if you're playing some sports in the fall, which I might have to do because I can't see nothing. I literally can't see half the people that are in this room right now. So I know I got to go check out Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey. So now it is time to preview the Carolina Panthers. Now, I'll start and preface this by saying that I think, just me personally, that this is the surprise jump forward team of the NFL. I'll start off by saying that. Why? Because I think that Sam Darnold is going to have a rejuvenated career right here in Carolina because, you know, his head coach is not a buffoon. It's Matt Rhule. And I'm a big Matt Rhule guy. I think this is one of the better coaches on the ups.
I think rejuvenated might be the wrong word because he's never had any type of career yet.
Juvenated.
He's going to be juvenated. It's interesting. I mean, I do like Matt Rhule. I'm not sure about Darnold. I know that he was given a shitty break. Was AJ texting over there?
Yeah, instead of going the camera.
I'm keeping aware.
No, you're not.
But yeah, Darnold had Adam Gase, so he had really no chance to succeed in New York. I do like the receivers in Carolina: Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. Get McCaffrey back, potential comeback player of the year. I know that you have something to say about that with the Dak situation, but
I think all these guys have potential to be a comeback
Carolina
player of the year.
Offense has potential to be legit. It's all about Sam Darnold for me.
And backing up Sam Darnold is former XFL star P.J. Walker. That kid could throw it and he can run. I believe he played for the Renegades, if that's a team. Dallas?
I couldn't name one single team.
You can. NFL.
No, I couldn't.
The New York team. What's their name? Stop. Stop. Don't lie.
Guardians.
Like, there it is. See?
Is it really?
Yes. So there you go. Complete you just named guess. One NHL team.
That's fucking crazy because that was a complete guess. I promise you.
All right. Well, you just got it. So anyway, Christian McCaffrey does come back. He was the number one overall pick yesterday in my draft. He's the number one overall pick in everybody's draft because they just think that the sky is the limit for this kid off injury. Now, again, he tried to make a comeback last year, and it just wasn't happening, right? But I think he is as advertised. I loved him in college, and I think he's got a future, man. He's got a really bright future and a really good coaching staff and a decent offensive line to run behind. And there's some leaders in that locker room. So I think that the Carolina offense could be something special. And when I say special, I'm not saying they're going to blow the doors off people or beat the brakes off people, right, AJ? They're not going to do any of that, but I think they have potential to have a couple weeks where they light up the scoreboard a little bit. And that receiving core for Sam Darnold is pretty good. You know, besides DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, you know, the other guys underneath them, you know, you might not know them now, but there are a couple stars in the making. Terrence Marshall Jr. is very good. I think he's very good. Their tight end situation might be a little left, you know, room for improvement as Dan Arnold. But their offensive line, you know, I know of Cam Irving because he played for Dallas, so I know him.
I'm going to pull up their depth chart now.
I'm looking right at their depth chart right here. But anyway, so they're all, like I said, their offense has the ability. Now, it's about the defense over there in Carolina for them to be successful.
That's where it gets bad.
It gets finicky. You know, it just gets, you know, on the defensive line, they do run a base 4-3, so it's Brian Burns. Derek Brown. Derek Brown's one of their newest kids and newest additions to that defensive line. He's a big run stuffer up the middle. Daquan Jones and Morgan Fox. That's your defensive line. So, you know, like, they're not the best, not the worst.
This is going to be the major Achilles heel for this team. They're not going to stop anybody. So you're right. Their offense is going to have to put up a ton of points to win some games.
I do. Shaq Thompson. Can't say enough about him. This defense hasn't been the same leadership-wise since, obviously, you know, Keek. Kukli.
And J.C. Horn's the rookie, right?
Holy shit. J.C. Horn is one of the guys. They took a gamble on him. He played yesterday, right? And there was rumors to say that he wasn't going to be ready for the regular season. That's why Dallas kind of shied away. He had micro back surgery like 2 months before the draft. So clearly that's something to monitor. You know, like, he takes a bad hit. You never know. You know what I mean? But J.C. Horn was one of the higher touted corners in this draft. Outside of Surtain and outside of... the other one. Wow. All
right. Any,
No. The one that two corners went before Dallas. That's why we couldn't get either one of them. Patrick Surtain Jr. And I don't know. Now I'm just like drawing a blank, but it doesn't matter. But
I'm sure Scoop will fucking comment any second.
No, I'm sure he won't. But anyway, so there is a little bit of relief on the backside. I think Jeremy Chin is good. Burris, okay.
I look at their defense and I know.
It's going to be
tough. I know
sledding.
A lot of names around the league.
I know.
I'm struggling to recognize a few of these.
I know.
Their defense isn't good.
Right. As I pull up NBA free agency for no reason whatsoever. But yeah, so the Carolina Panthers pull up their schedule. AJ, we'll go over that real quick and see where we're at. The over under is 7.5 right now. So it'll be interesting. But if I have to ride this team like I'm going to ride them as far as thinking that they're going to be good, then I think they're going to hit that over. So let's see. They open up with the Jets, which is obviously intriguing because it's Sam Darnold against the Jets. And, of course, the NFL schedule makers got this right as far as putting this game as their opening game. It's in Carolina, so I want to give Sam Darnold this revenge win. You know what I mean? And it's not revenge against the team. It's just revenge against how he was mistreated. I mean,
you know he's going to come out to play in that game. And you said it's in Carolina?
Yeah.
The Jets are shit, too. So that should be they could at least start off good.
Yeah, they'll even start off with a win. Then they stay home 2 weeks in a row, actually, to play New Orleans. Now, a lot of people are jumping all over this Jameis Winston thing. They really are getting excited about Jameis Winston and his ability to lead that team to – not the promised land, but at least to a decent season. I don't foresee that happening.
We got the Saints in 2 days, right?
We got the Saints in 2 days.
Yep. We do the Saints tomorrow.
Yes,
no,
yes.
Saints want were higher than the Buccaneers in standings.
So we actually do the Saints in 2 days.
So we're doing the champs tomorrow?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So the New Orleans Saints come to town. I think they actually rattle off that win and then rattle off another win against at Houston. So the potential for the Carolina Panthers to start off 3-0 is a thing. That's a definite thing. But then they run into that roadblock called the Dallas Cowboys. And but even that's going to be difficult, truth be told. Dallas struggles against everybody. But then Philadelphia, Minnesota, New York, Atlanta. The schedule is favorable for these Carolina Panthers. It is. It's not bad.
It's one of the easier ones that I've looked at recent days.
I guess
we've been doing this.
In the first 12 weeks, right? The guaranteed losses on this, I see maybe New England, Arizona.
I still got them under 7.5.
Washington, maybe 3. So if they can get off to a hot start, which they can very well do that, they can win. I think they could push this over before their bye. Before their bye. I think the Carolina Panthers can shock enough people and get enough wins.
I don't think they're going to win 8 games all year. So you got to go.
That's
before
crazy.
The bye. I don't see it.
Because I'm telling you.
I think that you might be overvaluing them a little bit.
But on that schedule, in the front 12, right? Give me their losses. Give me their guaranteed. There's no way they're going to compete with those team losses.
All right. Better yet, give me their guaranteed win.
New York.
Jets.
The Jets, Texans. The Texans. The Eagles. The Giants. The Falcons.
You're saying guaranteed?
Miami.
I don't think any of those are guaranteed.
None of those are guaranteed.
I'm saying winnable.
Losable. All losable.
All right. So at the very worst, I got them 6-6 at the break.
Okay. I mean,
6-6.
I'm not going to sit here and disagree per se because it's up in the air, but it's about how good Darnold comes out and plays. If he's the real deal, then yes.
It's tough.
It's doable.
It's tough sledding in the back end after their bye.
It's a lot
of similar opponents.
Now, we said this at the onset of breaking down the Panthers. I haven't seen much out of Darnold yet, so it's hard for me to say, you know what, yeah, he's going to be the guy. There's potential for him to be the guy because you got to scrap what you saw with the Jets. But until I see it, I have a hard time anointing Carolina just yet.
Well, here's where I get the over right here, okay? It just say they go at worst 6-6 before the break. They beat Atlanta, get you the 7, and then maybe they beat New Orleans in New Orleans, right? And there's your 8. And then, you know, you struggle against Buffalo, and then you probably lose twice to Brady. So I see this team finishing under 500, 8-9, but taking their over on the over-unders. You know, 7.5 is the number. So I see 8 wins out of this Carolina team. And for that, for a team that was as bad as they were last year, minus McCaffrey, this, I think, makes the leap. I'm even hard-pressed. I'll redo everything when we do the whole schedule all over again. I might even see 9 wins in this schedule. Because 6-6, remember, I had them at like 8-2.
So 9 wins is a fringe playoff team in the NFC.
I think, right? I think that's a thing.
Maybe not, though. I don't know. The NFC is kind of top heavy. We'll see.
But that is your Carolina Panthers. And I think that with the coaching, with McCaffrey back, with Darnold having an actual head coach, with that receiving core, the offense is going to put up points. The defense is suspect. We've talked about it. And I think that it's going to be interesting. Carolina is one of those teams that they can go either way. And I think that if they get off to the hot start, they could be a fringe playoff team. If for whatever reason they trip up, that back end of the schedule is awful for them, especially not having to face Tampa until December twice.
I'll go 7-10 for Carolina.
I'm going to go 8-9 to start. Again, we'll do more.
AJ, what do you got?
AJ, what do you got, bro?
8-9 is very fair. I wanted to say 9, but when I'm looking at that schedule, that last 4 weeks is so tough, and I think a lot of the beginning games are more losable than people would think. So
okay.
8-9.
All right, so once again, Gucci is the bearer of bad news with the worst record. You're very hard on all these teams, but yeah. So we do now know that tomorrow we will do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as our 32 teams and 32 day coverage continues.
Tampa Bay's schedule is going to look similar to that.
Yes, very similar.
They're probably
to that.
Not going to fucking lose all year.
We'll see. They're losing week one, but I digress with that one. I can beat that one over the What did I say? Beat a dead horse. What did I say?
Bang a dead horse.
Yeah, I got fetishes over here. But yeah, so anyway, if you're tuning into this podcast, be sure to tune into all the podcasts. Chopheads MMA breaks down the Woodley and Jake Paul fight a little bit more than we did. And then obviously you have the Squeaky Bum Time guys. They're back two times this week. The goddamn Jets will be back. Maybe John Saponaro might be have a week off. It might just be Kim and Max. We're going to talk about that later. Of course, more episodes of Chart Choppers. I'm your football team, Joe Matarese. And of course, we don't want to say anything until it's in the can, but I think Jimmy Palumbo has himself another solid, solid week after having a great week last week with the addition of Artie Lang as a guest on this network. So for that, for Sturch, Gooch on the Couch, and of course, all the production work that AJ just put in for us, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
We need to get that overhead light.
Yeah, let's just order it now.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.